declare a blessing and to forgive and to just be patient and to accept as from the Lord what he had done. And do you know, I had no trouble with that at all. That was to me a major victory, because I have been troubled over much less than that before. But God at least could love in that situation, and I determined to love. I affirmed that brother who was so broken up at having to be the one to be the hatchet man, and he said, I know I'm doing something wrong. But I could just say, that's quite all right. I know how patient the Lord was with me, things of his spirit. And it certainly is the least I can do to be patient with other brothers and sisters, affirming them until God's opened their eyes to the truth. I shall love them, and I shall pray a blessing on your conference. And that was the end of that. And no hassle. And I'm just so grateful to see what God can do inside a pretty major, aren't they? It's really his way. His way is good. And then notice in verse 10, too, that if we find that the world hates us, if we find that the world is rejecting us, we've got a marvelous example. Jesus said in John 15, 18, remember, it hated me before it hated you. In verse 22 and 23, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression, and a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. That's one of God's paradoxes, isn't it? Absolutely. Man says, by putting up my neck and getting a little proud and boastful, I'll make my way. Pride, says God, will push you down. A man says, you were just a doormat, just being humble, you'll be a nobody. And God says, humility will lift you up. Pride will push you down. Humility will lift you up. In fact, humility qualifies you for God's honor. That's pretty important. Okay. Number six is hasty speech. You think we finished it, but we haven't. A fool uttereth all his mind, verse 11 and verse 20. But a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. And verse 20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than him. Hasty speech. That's the kind of spirit that says, I'll set him straight. For mind, in verse 11, read spirit. And according to the context here, it's a spirit of anger. A fool uttereth all his mind. He's angry. He's got an angry spirit. Sometimes we've wanted to say we'll have a deliverance, an exorcism of a spirit of anger. And God is saying it's your angry spirit. Angry spirit. And we're told here, and I like the Living Bible paraphrase I'm going to use for this verse. He holds his temper in and cools it. Holds his temper in and cools it. And I'm going to suggest that what is being said here is to hold in is in reference to self-control. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Without God's ultimate controlling of our lives, we haven't got it in us to do this way. I mean, the natural person just has to immediately express the emotion. But by God's Holy Spirit, there is this controlling of holding. And that is the first aspect. But the other aspect is the cooling. Because, you know, if you hold heat inside, something's going to burn. And it's going to bring about a problem, isn't it? It's probably going to bring about a physical problem in time, too. Okay, so the cooling is under God's control. And you know, God has a process of cooling. Sometimes he has a refining fire, and that's a process of heating. But sometimes he has a process of cooling, and this is his process. What is, the first thing is, it's all dealing with him. All four points are dealing straight with him. See, our attitude is, we're angry, so we're going to deal immediately with that person. We'll deal with them by an explosive expression, if we've got that kind of nerve. If we haven't, we'll deal with them behind their backs in our thoughts and in our emotions. And if we can't speak to them, we still have to explode, we'll speak to somebody else about it, won't we? That's the way, the natural. Now, the four ways that God says to do it is first to speak to God. I believe that it's healthy to say, God, I really feel like killing Ms. X. What right has Ms. X to do to me this, that, and the other? And you know that. Now, like Hannah, I like the picture of Hannah. She didn't go to the Lord and just sort of pious prayers there in the temple. She poured out her poison to God. And the Lord wants us to be real, to be honest, and to say, you know, Lord, because you see, you're not going to hide anything by him, by putting on the proper face and the proper tone of voice. God knows exactly how we're feeling. He's already seen it. So all he's asking us, if you're real, if you open up to me, then I can open up to you, and we can do business. So we go right to the Lord, and we do. You say, but my, doesn't it say in Psalm 100, I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. That's how you enter into the presence of the Lord. If you're going to worship him, that is. But right now, it's not worship, it's worry. You've got a problem, and I have a problem. And there's another scripture for us, and that is that we are to enter boldly into the presence, his presence, into the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And I think both of those scriptures really apply. Truly, the way we seek to enter into his presence here in a very feeble way some mornings, but nevertheless is our desire to enter with praise and with thanksgiving, enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. But there's another time when you just so uptight and you got into a situation, you just enter boldly into the presence of the God to find grace for help in time of need, into the throne of grace, to the very throne. And then the second thing is, still with God and in his presence, having exploded all your feelings to him, you say, you have a choice. God says, what is your choice? You can choose by your will to forgive that person, or you can choose to get even with them. Your choice. All right? At that point, you choose to forgive. And one of the best ways to help you forgive when all your feelings say you can't and you won't is to say, Lord, will you forgive? And when you ask God to forgive that person, you just have to, you know, they'll be forgiven. There's no other way. Haven't we had telephone calls and doors today? Okay. So we forgive by the will. The third is, immediately forgiving is to love. And to how do we love? We still don't feel loving, do we? At this point, we still may be having some of the resentments a little bit down there. So God says something else to us to how to love, and that is to pray a blessing. You can't help but win. If you pray a blessing on the enemy, you can't continue to be angry about them. You know, we'd do anything but this cooling process. We don't take time to calm down to get cool. And the fourth is to thank the Lord for the whole mess. Because out of it, as one's put, is a message. Out of a mess is a message. Out of a problem like this, the Lord has a triumph. He has something good to bring out of it for you and for me. In fact, he may want to bless the very person who's cursed you. Now, the end result is not anger checked. If it's merely anger checked or repressed, we're in trouble. That's not good news. That's not the way God created our systems. We cannot handle anger. And unless we do sometimes have anger, we're not human. So anger checked is not the goal. God's goal is anger overcome. 7, 8, and 9 in about 5 minutes. 7 is favoritism. Verses 5, 13 and 14, and 4. And this is the kind of attitude that says inside, he's not worth it. Verse 5, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. And I just want to make the contrast here between flattery, which is insincere, and which is not true, with affirmation, which is real. It's so important that we affirm. True affirmation encourages, but flattery ensnares. Did I hear somebody? Okay. And verse 13, it says, the poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. In spite of our different circumstances or our different responses in life, whatever our social status be, we can always remember when we're looking at somebody, and this helps us when we're looking at somebody who looks like a dropout, we have a common origin. God created both of us. He's the creator of life, and we have a common benefactor, God, who sustains life. It's put in the New Testament that he causes his sun to shine and his rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. And verse 4, the king by judgment establishes the land, but he that receives gifts overthrows it. That any rule is established when our priorities are established. And the priority is the love of wisdom rather than the love of wealth or the love of justice rather than the love of money. The eighth point is no vision. No vision. And verses 18, 15 and 17, 19 and 21, 2 and 16. And I've seen that as being at four different levels. 18 is the personal. 15 and 17 is the family. 19 and 21 is the community or the job, the social status. And verses 2 and 16, the national. What's meant by vision, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Vision is referring to a revelation as given by a prophet. A revelation. And it includes, really, the law, it includes the prophets, and the wisdom literature. The whole thing, the Bible. Where there is no vision, perish. And another word for perish in this, as I understand it, is to break loose. If there is no law, if there is no word of God, the people just break loose doing their own thing. I'll just read this one reference to you. I'll just give it to you. Exodus 32, 35. It's an interesting point, I believe, about when there is no vision. It's a classic example of when they made the golden calf, when Moses was up in the Mount of Transfiguration, the Mount of Sinai, where he was getting the law. And that was a glorious mount. His face so shone that they couldn't even look at his face, which was merely reflecting the glory of God up there. So he came down to the field, to the valley, and what did he see? The shame of people who were far from obeying the law of God. People who had decided to do their own thing. And in verse 35 of chapter 32. No, I haven't got the right, verse. Let me tell you what it is, and then I'll have to find out the correct verse another time. I'm saying, it says that they broke loose among their enemies, and I wanted to read that. Is it? You read it.
Now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies.
Yes. I know, I was reading it from this one. That they were among their enemies. And this is my point that I wanted to bring, was that when we have no vision, going by our own sight, the result is that we find ourselves in the midst of enemies. And when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose to their shame among their enemies, that is the point. Verses 15 and 17 is in reference to the rod and reproof, and we've had many of those kind of reminders through Proverbs, haven't we? Just notice that in 15, I think it's a little word to us mothers. It says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringing his mother to shame. Therefore, that shows that the mother is pretty responsible for the discipline too, as well as the father. And then in verses 19 and 21, we find here the reminder, a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. And he that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. At the end, that words alone are not enough. That God requires of us to train up our children, or training here is in a job situation or slave situation. And we train, we remember, by teaching, by example, by rewards, encouragements, teaching, example, encouragements, and love is the balance between the discipline of penalties or punishments and teaching. And then 2 and 16 are the national level. When the righteous are in authority, people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, people mourn. And when the wicked are multiplied in verse 16, transgression increaseth. And then the new factor in verse 16, part B, the righteous shall see their fall. The righteous shall see their fall. In the among the minor prophets, there's one called Habakkuk. If I can find him. Habakkuk 2:2-4. And I'm just going to read you that. The Lord answered me, write the vision. Make it plain upon tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. And so often, that's something for us to remember when we see and know God's word and it seems as if it's not being fulfilled. The vision is promised to be fulfilled. The last point is the 9th one, verses 25 and 26. And this is the memory verse for this chapter. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. In other words, seeking to please man rather than God is the trap. And thinking that I'll win him, I'll please him. Safe in verse 25, whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe, means set on high, a place that is beyond man's reach. But if we trust the Lord, in verse 26, many seek the ruler's favor or whoever is in a position to grant a favor, but every man's justice comes from the Lord. So we come back to that a verse from the Psalms where it says, my expectation is from him. And he is the one who promotes. He is the one who rewards. He is the one who will make us safe. I get the message that the class should be over. So let's just have a prayer. Lord Jesus, we just do thank you and praise you for your wonderful words of life. And Lord, we do not want to be responsible or guilty, shall we say, to hear them, even record them, and to leave them. We do ask, Lord, that you will write them in living letters in our experience this coming week. I pray by your Spirit, O Lord, to make your word come alive. And we just praise and thank you. It is your word. And for the privilege we have to hear you speak. And thank you, Lord, that you're so faithful. Faithful to your word, which are true. Even though we often have been unfaithful. For your forgiving love, we thank you. For your truth, we do rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen.